All right, Wildlings, you wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest podcast out of Louisville, Kentucky, the Sean versus Wild podcast. And per usual, I'm the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. It's so good to talk to you again this Tuesday. Very excited for my guest today. I'm talking to Sim Williams, a good friend of mine from the UK to LA and now in your headphones, in your earbuds, in your home stereo speakers. Very excited to have him on the show just because he's just released a brand new album, puts out excellent music. I first met him on Warped Tour when he was with a band called The Exposed. We're going to be chatting all about that. And great guy. And you probably heard me mention that he had some shows in the Los Angeles area just a couple weeks ago, and he's got more coming up. We're talking all about it on today's show. So make sure that you stick around and tune in. Don't touch that dial. And why would you? Why would you just want to listen to 5 minutes of me talking in the introduction and then just not check out the cool guests and the sweet new tunes? That's what's up. Also, guys, last Friday, Rivals just released Damn Soul. Of course, I had a conversation with them just a couple weeks ago. So buy their brand new album, Damn Soul, out everywhere, you know, via Smart Punk Records. So very happy for those guys. I'm very excited for February. You know, new month is upon us. And a lot of great things coming out of the Sean versus Wild camp. I'm not going to brag or anything, but I just bought a printer. Yeah, you heard me. So this Sean versus Wild money is really making some magic happen. So now I've got a printer so I can print out, you know, my 2017 invoices for my taxes. So it is what it is, guys. That's what's up. So, but even more impressive and awesome things are in the future, so stay tuned. And yeah, big thanks to my sponsors, as always. I'm talking about Audible. Audible is an Amazon company. If you like books like I do, check out your audiobook selection there. Over 180,000 audiobooks at your fingertips with Audible, and you get a free month just for liking the Sean versus Wild podcast, just for tuning in. Simply go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. audibletrial.com/SEANVSWILD, Sean versus Wild. So again, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild, and sign up for your free 30 days. You get a free audiobook with it. If you like it, keep it going. If you don't like it, cancel it at any time. Just like Netflix or any other subscription stuff. Guys, you know how to subscribe to stuff by now. And if you don't like your audiobook, you can return it. It's that simple. So I've been listening to some great audiobooks, and you should too. I mean, it is what it is. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. It's a no-brainer. It is what it is. It's a no-brainer, guys. Also, I want to give a shout-out to audiophileinc.com. They're the ones responsible for the hot new Cobra Kai-themed Sean vs. Wild sweatshirt that I've been throwing around on the old internet there. A lot of orders for that, so make sure you get yours. I only have a few sizes left, medium, large, extra large, and I only have a few of them left. So get them in. Just send me an email, seanversuswild@gmail.com, and we can get everything squared away and get something shipped out to you. Also, if you like that sort of thing and you want your own stuff printed, go to audiophileinc.com. Talk to Shane. He's the guy responsible, like I said, and he can do the same for you. If you got a sweatshirt, bam, t-shirt, hooded sweatshirt, whatever. If you can dream it, it can be accomplished. You know what I'm saying? It's 2018. We can do this. I guarantee it. So contact Shane. Tell him the Wild Man sent you. And he's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. And he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States. Also, big shout out to Joe Brock, of course, for booping the dials. And a big shout out to you, the listener, as always. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I know I've talked about it, but up to number 6 on the iTunes music charts. It was number 11 for a while. Last week, I think I got to number 8. So I think we can get to number 1, guys. Something tells me we can get to number 1. And the way to do that, just tune in. Listen. Give it a whirl. If you like it, listen to some back episodes. Tell a friend. It's all word of mouth that we're building here, guys. We are building an empire brick by brick. So if you can help me out, and then shoot me an email, and I'll help you out any chance that I get. Promotion, if you have any news articles, anything like that that needs to be talked about on the show, we'll make it happen. And I'm going to keep all the great guests coming for you guys. So tune in week after week and enjoy yourself. But that's enough for me, guys. Let's go ahead, chat with Sim Williams. It is time to get rowdy and get wild here on the Sean versus Wild podcast. So, Sim, last week I was interviewing another LA band, and so I was making, I made like a little Los Angeles playlist, and a lot of times when I'm in LA, it's like the Pretty Woman soundtrack. It's like these 80s, early 90s, like pop bands, electronic pop bands. For some reason, that's what I always think of. But later on that night, that's when I contacted you about like, Sim, you know, what's going on, brother? Why don't you do the podcast? So I made like a full LA punk playlist.
Oh, nice.
And that's what I've been jamming all week. So
what have you had on there then?
Well, I've got X, Los Angeles. Of course, X is one of my faves. Mm-hmm. Dead Kennedys, one of my faves. Been the Germs, the Go-Go's, even though they're pretty pop by that time that they're starting to put out albums.
No.
Yeah, and also, too, if you haven't read it yet, you need to check out a book called Under the Big Black Sun by John Doe, the bass player of X.
Right.
It's just like a retrospective of, you know, L.A. punk from like 76 to about like 1983. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to get into the whole book thing at the moment.
Well,
a bit of a book kick.
The audiobook as well, because I have the Audible sponsorship. I went and like picked up the audiobook. And what's cool about that is like, you know, he reads all his own chapters, but, you know, Jade Wheatland from the Go-Go's reads her chapter and Henry Rollins reads his. And, you know, if they talk about the songs or different bands or whatever, they'll actually play like little snippets of songs on there. So it was like, man, this audiobook is like next level here.
Yeah, I think that's why people are going, you know, towards audiobooks. You can listen to them in the car. I think that's always handy.
Right, yeah. It's I'm reading and I'm driving. You just got the Springsteen book, you said?
Yeah, I just got that for Christmas, and it's a fucking big book.
Right.
So, and I was never much of a reader. I sort of started getting into it a little bit more.
Well, but, I feel like me being an American, it's like I'm obligated to like Bruce Springsteen, but he's one guy. I've even seen him live, and while I appreciate his talent and the talent of his band, I don't know, that slice of Americana, Springsteen never did it for me like the way maybe...
Never did it for you.
Maybe not the way Tom Petty would or something like that.
No, I think I'm definitely swaying more Petty, more towards Petty, but I think I've never seen Springsteen. That's one thing I need to...
Well, I'll tell you this. He played 3 hours, and he even played Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
Yeah, that's...
And I saw him in July, so...
Fair enough.
So yeah, guys, this isn't the Bruce Springsteen podcast, by the way. This is the Sean versus Wild podcast, and I'm sitting down with a good friend of mine. His name is Sim Williams, all the way from Portsmouth, United Kingdom. Now he's talking to me from LA? Sherman Oaks. Yeah, transplanted here to the United States. Now, Sim, let me ask you this big question, probably on everybody's mind. What made you, in this day and age, decide that you want to be an American? you picked maybe.
I think I'm going for the full citizenship. I have a lady here. Which,
that helps.
You know, I've been back and forth for a long time, last sort of 10 years, I suppose, touring. But, yeah, it's just always somewhere that's been... I've obviously made a lot of good friends here and a lot of good memories here, so... I think the weather as well always helps.
Yeah, what's the weather like there?
That's the English one. It just sucks.
What's the weather like there today?
Nice. It's about sort of 70. It's sort of low, so like... Yeah, low 70s.
Well, that 60s. Sounds like total shit because it's about, I don't know, 1 degree here. It's been snowing all day long.
Oh, lovely.
You know, I had my fist clenched.
Like Louisville, right?
Yes, Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky. I had my fist clenched the entire drive home from work today. So definitely snowy terrain here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
In the southern Indiana, Louisville metro area. So you got
it. If you drive to work, as soon as it snows in England, like everyone has it, everyone fucking has a day off work. You know, it's panicking.
Yeah.
There's like a 5 degree incline and they can't get up the hill. It's not built for it. It's like 2 days of like slush as well. It's not even real snow. It's like brown, slushy.
Great.
Sort of mush. Yeah.
Well, Christmas in England just sounds fantastic then. I'll have to go and build a brown mush snowman.
Yeah, you could do, yeah. We actually had Christmas in, we went to where my girlfriend lives in Washington. We went to Quilcene in Washington, which was, we actually had a white Christmas. We got there on Christmas, the day before Christmas Eve? No, we got there, we flew in on Christmas Eve. It snowed that night, so that was quite nice.
Yeah, that is always nice when you get it one day. Like, you know.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was enough. It laid for a little bit, and then he's like, we could drive in it.
Yeah.
It wasn't too cold, but.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, because any more than that on like a white Christmas, like one year we had Christmas and it was just like, oh, hey, Indiana, Kentucky, state of emergency, nobody can be on the road. We got like, you know, 3 feet of snow. And I was like, you know, this is a little too white of a Christmas. I like it when it just a little dusting on Christmas Eve night, you know, make it look white for the day. And then
little magical dusting.
Right. And then I'm just going to go about my business for the rest of the week. I don't need to be inconvenienced. I'm going to be at work tomorrow, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
But Sam, I didn't have you on here just to talk about the weather. I want to talk about, you know, we're going to be talking about music here today. You got a brand new album just came out last month called Broken Bones. I'm stoked on it. I want my listeners to get stoked on it here. So, just to give everybody a little backstory, Sim and I met Warped Tour 2013 when you were out with The Exposed.
Yes.
So, and you said you still hang around and chat with those blokes.
I still speak to him. See Tony, that's the singer, he's in Melbourne now, living in Australia. Owen is wherever, I don't know where he is. He's just all over the place. I think he's in Melbourne now actually at the moment. Sort of temporarily to tattoo around the world. Obviously Trevor, who was playing guitar for us when you and I met, he's around here, he's in Burbank, so he's fairly close to me, so I see him quite a lot. He actually played on the new record, he actually produced a new record as well, so we've sort of, and we've played live as well a few times together recently. So yeah, we still see each other quite a lot. And Mark is the original Exposed guitarist. He's like my best friend back in England, so we still hang out a lot whenever I'm back home.
How did you guys make that work, being on two different continents for most of the, you know, run of the band?
Me and Tony sort of moved to Melbourne after the Exposed, and it was we mainly did bigger tours over here than we did in the UK. So in the UK it was still the same lineup minus Trevor. But on the last tour, Mark had already parted ways with the band 2012. So when we got that last Warped Tour offered, he decided not to go. So that's when we got Trevor in. But we'd known Trevor for years at this point anyway. So we kind of, we somehow made it work.
Right. How did you guys wind up with the gig in Warped Tour? Because you guys had been doing like catering, barbecue, a few other different things before you guys landed the 2013.
Yeah, well, we managed to get on catering in 2009, 2010. And then in 2011, I actually got to play the whole thing. So,
yeah.
And then we sort of parted ways for a little bit. We had like a little hiatus at the end of 2011, 2012. And then in 2013, we got offered a month. And that was actually our last sort of big tour together as a band. But that was good. And that's when we met you. And you guys were doing the catering.
Yeah, see, we did catering in 2013. And then we did barbecue band in 2014. So got to work your way to the top. And I actually just had Kevin Lyman on my podcast here a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, man, everything worked out. And we got to meet each other. That's the most important thing that happened in 2013. Mm-hmm. We got to spend quite a great summer together. I remember at one point, like, I was talking to Kevin, like, after I just, like, finished having breakfast with you one day, and I was, like, saying something to Kevin, and I kind of end the conversation with, yeah, you know, some sort of very British thing. And I was like, yeah. And he was just like, looks at me and he's like, what the fuck is the matter with you, dude? I was like, sorry, I was talking to Sim. An infectious, you know, accent there. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I mean, I can think of probably a nicer English accents to maybe soak up more than mine, I suppose. Whereas the Portsmouth accent's not necessarily the nicest of British accents.
So you guys are like, I take it you guys are like south? Are you guys south in the country?
Yeah, we're pretty much south as you can go, really.
Okay. So, you know, I've heard a stigma. Now, I'm not painting everybody with the same brush here, but I have heard a stigma from some of my British friends that basically the
the further south you are, like, isn't it like the further north you are, that's like the equivalent to like the further south you are in the United States. Like northerners are much like southerners in the US, and southerners in Europe are much more are northerners here.
I don't know. I think it's quite hard to.
Well, there's this, for anybody listening here from being in Kentucky.
Maybe you're right.
Well, the South here, being from Kentucky, I can say this. The South here has a certain stigma about it. So, but I have heard the same stigma attached to the Northerners of the UK. So these come from pretty reliable.
What, just like loud, brash, kind of?
Yes, basically. Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
But
very
yeah.
Nice, though. I think Northerners are quite nice. I find them further north you go, the more friendly people are. I think that is kind of true.
See, we have what's called Southern hospitality here, so it's all about people being nice.
Yeah. I can understand. Yeah, I think certain regards to personality, I think you could say that. Yeah, I'd say that Southerners are probably a little bit more. Southerners in England, yeah, probably a little bit more stuck up, as it were. It's more expensive. Like you come from London, I feel like Londoners are a little bit more. I don't know.
They have
without trying to offend any Londoners, right. Somewhere else.
It's cool.
It's all right. I don't mind it. But it all depends on the area as well. London's only a small place, but you've got like really, really rich areas and you've got really, really poor areas. So it's hard to sort of tell. And there's 7 million people in London.
Right. Sim, it's cool. You're off the hook here, brother. I'm not trying to make you. You know what? You're off the hook,
maybe
man.
Maybe choose, which is my favorite.
Dude, Sim came on the podcast. He said a bunch of things. Now his career's over. What the heck?
A load of people.
7 million Londoners offended. You're on the naughty list this year.
It's now, pretty much like it's pretty much like the news over here.
Oh, right.
A certain president that comes on swears at a lot of people, upsets a lot of people.
That's what I was saying, man. You picked maybe one of the weirdest times in history to become an American citizen.
Yeah, probably. But I like, you know, it's an adventure.
Yeah, man. You got to
see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to play the hand that you're dealt. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. And so you've done several years of Warped Tour, Warped Tour alumni. I usually always ask, like, you know, any good memories, good tour stories from your time out here in the United States, rustling around?
Plenty of those. We found ourselves, you find, like you'd know as well, like you find yourself going to places that you would never, ever fucking go to.
Right.
If you were just traveling. Like when you're touring, you find yourself in some really interesting, obscure sort of places. I think it's the most weirdest. I mean, we find ourselves in some like quite sketchy areas, but not knowing it.
Right.
And it's actually looking back on it. I mean, it's quite sketchy, but it seems more like a comedy sketch because you've got these like four sort of British guys in some sort of ghetto in Atlanta or something like that, who've got no idea. And it's like almost like the innocence of us sort of got us off the hook of a lot of things.
Yeah, I've definitely been there before where it's just like, but I always just look at it as like, okay, I'm in a van with four or five of my best friends, and if shit goes down, we got this. There's probably going to be more of us than there is going to be of any sketchy situation that we might come across here. But yeah, you're right. Sometimes you end up in some of the strangest places, and sometimes places that I think are going to be awesome are terrible, and some of the places that I think are just going to be a waste of my time are completely awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your favorite place to play that you played so far?
Favorite place to play with the Exposed. I mean, we did well. Southern states, we always did well. Sort of like Texas, that sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
New York as well. We always did quite well on the East Coast. Like Buffalo was always good.
Buffalo's fantastic. Do you ever play that venue, the Bug Jar, in Buffalo?
No,
I'm sorry,
I haven't played that.
Rochester. Now I'm thinking of the wrong state or city.
Whatever. I haven't actually been that far up as a solo artist yet. So I've only really sort of done West Coast stuff. I did like a little sort of tour. Headed out east sort of last year. It was like my first sort of solo American tour, so I went up to Denver and Oklahoma and a few dates in Texas. and then sort of came back west. But it's mainly been West Coast stuff.
Sure. Well, West Coast, that's the thing. Like, us coming from Midwest here, where we were, it'd be like, you know, you could get pretty far, but then there's going to be just this big stretch where it's like your main venues, your main music cities are fewer and further between. But once mm-hmm. you get to like California, you can go all the way up and down, you know, the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're generally pretty good for the most part, you know. Played in Washington over Christmas. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
She died up there. That's always been pretty good. I mean, that was even good with the Exposed. Really. We actually had a couple of Exposed fans come out to one Washington show.
That's
like
fantastic.
Over Christmas, which is weird because, like, you know, you don't really expect that because it's been so long.
Right. Well, yeah. Sometimes you make fans for life, you know. I still have people that, you know, tune into this show every week just because they like my band, met me at one point, and mm-hmm. Yeah. So where'd you play in Washington?
Played in Bremerton.
Gotcha.
The Hi-Fi Club.
Nice.
Hi-Fi Lounge, Bremerton, which is good. And then played in Seattle.
How did Seattle treat you?
The Kraken. I think it was Kraken. That's cool. So I played Washington before, played in Tacoma last time.
I'm pretty sure Seattle hated our band when we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my one Seattle experience wasn't the best, but Washington's cool, though. I'm into a beautiful country up there, so would love to visit.
Mm-hmm.
We just came on the wrong night.
So what was your experience? Was it just like shitty people? Or?
It was just people that were like, hey, I'm local and you're from out of town, and so is everybody else here to play some music, so get on with it and leave.
Yeah, it's just that kind of bitchy scene.
It is what it is, brother.
You're feeling extra bitchy that night.
Could you imagine, could you imagine the millions of people that have, since maybe, you know, 1990, that have flocked to Seattle to play music or to have their band heard? That's got to be a pain in the ass.
Shot down. And I can also feel like the amount, same with London as well. It's kind of like the big cities. Everyone goes there, like the music cities. Yeah, it's generally a disappointment from a musician's perspective when you turn up.
Yeah, at some places that I did play, though, that I was absolutely surprised were so awesome, is randomly I played in Boise, Idaho, and it was
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Yeah, Boise was pretty good. Walk tour in Boise was quite fun.
And then I always loved the Utah dates of Warped Tour as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It always been good.
I always thought Utah would be just like this land of, you know, just... I wasn't sure what to expect. Like, I figured people, I don't know how much punk rock they wanted. It'd be prim and proper. But then also, too, I'm like, SLC punk. Like, I've seen the movie. Yeah. Like, Salt Lake City's huge, has a huge punk scene. And they didn't mm-hmm. disappoint, man. They brought it and a great eclectic mix of everybody there.
Yeah, it's good. That's always been fun.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
A very polite bunch.
Yeah.
Utah's.
Exactly. And then you got all the broship dudes out there. Shout out to, you know, all that. And they always take care of you and you have a good time. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic, man. Yeah. So, well, what have you been up to? What have you been up to lately? Like I said, you got a brand new album that released last month. What, I guess, let me ask you, because I haven't really talked to you since 2013. This is like the first time we've sat down and heard each other's voices. You know, how did you spend life in the last 5 years, man? Catch me up. Catch the listeners up.
Ooh, well, I actually decided to do a solo project. I had a couple of years off music, actually. I sort of went off about, maybe not that long, actually. I mean, probably had about a year and a bit, year and a half off. And I was like working for other bands as well, sort of like doing merch and stuff like that, you know, sort of doing the rounds, just working sort of wherever I could. And did that, then decided to write a few songs and then just put a record out. Because I'd never sung before. I was always a guitar player. So I'd do like backing vocals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I thought, I'd never actually written lyrics either. But I managed to sort of write three or four songs down. And I thought, right, I'll go and record them. before I play any shows, I'll just go and record it, record an EP. If it sounds shit, then I just won't do anything with it. I can just say I've done it, and if it sounds good, then I'll be doing it. Yeah, I think I released the first EP, Devil on Your Back, back in 2015. It's the beginning of 2015, so it's been a couple of years, but it's been a pretty fun ride,
right?
So far, anyway. This is the first full length record, but I just played loads of shows and then got the touring bug back, and you know, like booked a fucking US tour. Learned to drive, because I didn't drive before, so. Sort of like learn to drive just so I could go on, like take myself on tour because no one else was going to drive me.
Right.
All my bandmates moved away to Australia or wherever.
So now you have to learn how to drive yourself so you can tour.
Yeah, it was good. It's actually been a lot of growing up, I think, a lot of learning new things in the last sort of few years, for sure.
And I feel like that's probably reflective, especially because, you know, I've been listening to the new album on Spotify and everything, and I can tell a difference between, you know, your release in 2015, this one's new stuff. I'm sure, I mean, just as everybody, you got to mature, you got to get, you know, your life starts coming together in different ways, and you got new things to write about, and that reflects in your music as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell the listeners about some of the topics. I mean, what are some things that you're tackling here on this new album?
Mainly not just life. I think the new records have been more just about life in general. You know, not just for me, but for, you know, not just first person, but third person, and writing about experiences and things. And it's hard. I overthink it, I think, when I come to writing lyrics. So it's sometimes I'll get in my own head about it and just. Yeah, just try not to overthink it, but try to not make things obvious, I think, as well.
Sure.
I'm going for. So sometimes I write a song and I'll be like, I get what that bit means, but I'm not quite sure. I know it means something. And then, like, I think maybe the more I sing it, and some songs are just more obvious than others, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, this is like the first full length record. I tried not to put any sort of album fillers in there, but.
Right, you want to make sure it's all good from, you know.
Yeah. I'm not like a particularly fast songwriter as well. It takes me like a lot longer than some people.
I'm the same way, like when it comes to any kind of creative project, because just like you, I get inside my own head. I'm thinking, sometimes I'm overthinking. Then after it's done, I'm analyzing it. I'm like, should I change it? And then I always just find the best thing is just. Even when we were like, you know, when I was playing in a band or whatever, like when we were writing, it's like the best stuff always just comes quickly. And then, you know, you just send it out to the universe and for better or worse, see what comes about it. So I always try to do that. Like even with this podcast, when I first started, I was like overanalyzing everything, editing every little thing. Now I just keep it natural. I think people enjoy to actually hear something.
Yeah, and there's not a lot out there that is kind of, you know, just natural and organic, I suppose, especially in the world of, you know, digital era that we live in.
Exactly.
Well, I try to keep the music, you know, I even try to keep, like, even when recording the record, like, you can keep certain little mistakes in there as well, and that keeps it quite, you know, human,
right.
I suppose.
Well, especially
in... too produced, you know.
Right, and music in general now, in this day and age, you know, most drums are replaced, no matter, you know, I mean, some drummers in the studio playing it, but those sounds and stuff, they're replaced. So the drums you hear are perfectly quantized. They're perfectly set to a grid. They're replaced to sound perfectly heavy or whatever it is that they're supposed to sound like. And, you know, emulated bass with, you know, MIDI and stuff like that. And there's so much production now and people are so used to it. You know, I enjoy actually hearing the human element to it, whether you know, for better or for worse. That's why I like punk rock so much. Like it's just three chords and the truth, and you know, it's no bullshit and it's no frills, you know. Well, at least it used to be. Punk rock is a lot different now than, of course, that it used to be. So.
It is, yeah. That's good. I'll sort of keep an element of that, try and keep a lot of the you know, the equipment, sort of just keep the recording sort of as analog as possible, really.
Sure.
So
You know, I was actually thinking the other day, I was like, you know, so many people are very angsty, or they're very opinionated and take a lot of issue with things. Like I said, it's a weird time to be an American. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this will lead to some excellent punk rock music. Like maybe we'll have a complete resurgence here in just the next few years of people getting offline and going into their garage and just writing some super angry punk rock music.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think, I mean, I've even found myself going more down that route, you know, with the new record. I think it's definitely a lot more punk rock than the first one. I've always tried to keep the elements there, but I guess it's just harder for me to walk away from than, yeah,
right,
than I thought. But I'm trying to rock exactly whatever I want. My musical taste has grown, I think, so much certainly over the last sort of 5 years. Sure. I'm just sort of playing a little bit of whatever I want in there, really. Just acoustic, rock and roll, punks.
I was going to say, what are some of your influences there, just in general, and then what are some of the stuff you've been tuning into, like you said, in like the last 5 years or so?
It's literally just a bit of everything. I mean, I still listen to a lot of the punk rock stuff, a lot of the punk rock bands. I mean, not as old school as a lot of people would. I mean, I still love bands like The Offspring, Millencolin, and you know, like that sort of punk rock. But yeah, for the last few years, we listened to a lot of Simon and Garfunkel, actually, and actually influenced a lot of Exposed stuff as well, especially for the last Exposed record, because there was a lot of vocal harmonies, and I think that taught me more about sort of harmonizing and just playing the acoustic guitar properly and not just, you know, smashing it like it's an electric guitar, you know. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of that, a lot of Tom Petty as well, obviously, like the last couple of years. So a lot of that, I don't know, just basically whatever. There's loads of new amazing new bands coming out as well,
right?
Mercy Music, actually, there's a band from Las Vegas called Mercy Music that fucking amazing, so listen to loads of those. I'll try not to see, you know, I've got sort of bored, like you said, like you play for so long and you kind of get a bit bored of it, you know? Get a bit bored of music, you don't get to enjoy it so much.
Right.
So taking a bit of time off is always nice.
And for listeners out there, before I started rolling tape on this, Sim and I were just having discussions, catching up a little bit. And, you know, I told him that I wasn't playing currently, but, you know, he just referenced it there. I was saying, you know, when you play for like, say, 13 years straight, sometimes you need to take some time off to kind of fall back in love with it again, you know. And I spent the last year or so just like really enjoying music again for the first time in a long time, and actually going back and appreciating stuff, because, man, it was getting to the point where I didn't even want to turn on the radio. That's where I fell in love with podcasting, because I was sick of listening to music. I was sick of the radio and everything. So
yeah, especially with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the chips on the radio nowadays as well. It's not always it's not quite what, you know, what it used to be, as they say. But so it's hard sometimes. You just bombard with it, social media and everything else, that, you know, you don't need to, no one really sits back and just puts records on anymore necessarily.
Right.
So I think that's sort of pushed a lot of people away from it. That's like podcasts now, like more popular than anything, right? I heard the other day, like they, you know, people listen to more podcasts than they do music and all that.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, like,
maybe I'm just regurgitating my latest shit. Like, in regards to media, like, people listen to podcasts more. I think it's like the most downloaded thing or something.
Well, I was just reading an article and they were talking about, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast. Joe Rogan's got the most popular podcast, you know, maybe ever. But they say, you know, more people tune into Joe Rogan's podcast than most television shows. That he gets, you know, almost like, I think he gets like 10 million downloads a month. On his shows, so like more people tune in to his podcast than tune into most television shows.
Yeah, I think that's basically what I was trying to say earlier. But
right, yeah, I mean, it's the wave of the future, man. But you know, you were talking about listening to records and stuff. Like, that's actually, I think, how I fell back in love with music, is because I got a record player last year around Christmas time. And so I bought a couple records and I just listened to them, and I found the right one. I think I found the right ones at the right time, you know, and we'd get the friends together and we'd all hang out at the house here and put on an album or two, or some people would bring some stuff in and, you know, we'd have some drinks and have a great night. And,
yeah,
but that just
like, you can't skip that track. You don't get that one guy that's like the fucking DJ that's just like, oh no, let me put my song on. Let me put my, it's like, oh.
Right. So you're basically listening to it one side at a time, you know, 20 minutes mm-hmm. at a time. And, you know, I fell in love with it again. And then like, it just kind of associate it now with like great times, you know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then I just went on like kind of a buying spree, you know, I was like, oh, originally I was like, oh, I'll get this one Black Sabbath album that's like, that I love. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to get all the Black Sabbath albums that I love. And then I'm going to get everything else, you know? So, yeah. And then, you know, just like my, I was like, I made a Los Angeles punk playlist. And then today, as soon as I got home, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and buy these albums as well. You know, I've been listening to it on my phone. Let's go ahead and have the albums for, you know, when I get home from work. So throw those on as well.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you one album that I'm super excited to be purchasing here. That is your new album, Broken Bones, here. And we've been chatting a little bit about it, but I think it's time to unleash the dragon here, Sim. It is time to let the listeners hear what it's all about. You have prepared a piece for us that we will that I will magically drop in post-production. New single called Casanova Blues. Tell me about it. What's a little bit of the story behind it, and then we'll rip right into it.
Well, it's an older track. It's actually one I probably wrote this just after I recorded the last record. But it's always been an acoustic track, so it's always been one I played live. Loved it. I wasn't too sure how it was going to come out because I think I played it so long when I went to record it in Fullerton last year, which is where I recorded the record. And when I went into the studio, and I sent a few posts, like pre-production things over, which is basically me just recording it on the phone and sending it to the guys.
Right.
And I'd be like, hey, can you guys play over this? I want to do a full band track, because most of the record's full band. And when I'm getting into the studio, and Jay Stolo, who's the owns the studio, he was just like, yeah, I think this one's going to be, you know, going to be a fucking good one, basically.
This one's going to be...
It might just be like an album filler for me, but...
But it turns out it's going to be the banger.
It could be a fucking banger. So, yeah, it turns out it is. Yeah, we've got Buddy from a band called The Darlings. He came in and played slide guitar on it, which is what you'll hear as soon as it, you know, as soon as the song plays, which I think really made it. You know, it was just a full band track that got made even better. And it's just definitely my favorite song off the record, which is why I put it on as track one. But just thought, as soon as you put that CD in, that's what I want to.
Yeah, man.
That's a song I want to hear. That's a song I'd want to hear if I was listening to it. So, yeah, right. It's been a long time in the making. Say that. But.
Well, marketing genius, Sim. Put the banger right there, track one. People have been doing it. You did it. Let's give it a listen, guys. This is Sim Williams with Casanova Blues featuring Buddy from the Darlings on slide guitar. You'll hear it as soon as I press play, okay? But this is Sim, Casanova Blues.
Tied onto your nails. My time has come, and I can't believe my luck's about to change. Like a rising sun in the dark of my existence, shadows to my heart are taken back in flames, taken back in fire, taken back in. And I can't seem to get you off my skin. I haven't got enough to tell you just how much I refuse to let you in. resentment, the crippling desire to run. When it's not over, until it's over, when we're casting over, but nowhere my heart lies. When it's not over, until it's all over, I'm a casting over. Until it's over, I'm a Casanova, and I know where my heart lies, know where my heart.
All right, everybody, that was Sim Williams taking you with a one-way ticket to Toontown, guys. Yeah, that slide guitar, it really just tied the song together nicely. Billy, you did it, buddy. A big shout out there, Sim. You still with me, bro? You didn't fall asleep in between the.
Sipping on my wine. I must get that. Yeah. Missus gave me a glass of wine. Help me relax a little bit. This is my first podcast. I don't think I've said this much words in a short period of time ever in my life.
That's all right, man.
I'm quite an introvert person, so it's okay. It's good to talk to you. It's good to talk to my mate Sean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the second half always slides by a little easier, especially once we refuel. You know, I do this all the time, so it's like, whatever. I can do it on a glass of water. I can do it on about 10 beers, you know. But
I was in Vegas on Saturday. I can't even talk about 10 beers right now.
You know, I was just thinking, now that you just mentioned Las Vegas, I think that's the day that I think that was the day that we really became serious bros, because we just sat and drank from, you know, whenever the set was over at like noon to whenever it wrapped up at about 8 o'clock.
That sounds about right. That was good.
I forgot all about that day until just now, probably because I had hardly any recollection of it to begin with.
Yeah, it was a good day. It's like the hottest day of Warped Tour. I think that's the hottest. Yeah, I think that's the hottest day Warped Tour's ever been, I think. It was like 119 or something. Yeah. They had all the fucking ambulances parked up outside, and kids were throwing up everywhere. It was awesome.
You know, that date specifically, that Vegas date in 2013, has actually been mentioned on the podcast before, and it was mentioned strictly because they're the heat, and there was some guy specifically. The story that was shared was about a guy that had like some sort of heat detection gun, similar to like a, I don't know, like a radar gun, I would imagine. And the guy clocked it, and it was like 119. And he's like, "Man, I'm in a semi truck, and you can fry an egg in this cab, brother." So, but to that, I was just like, "Well, I wouldn't know, because I literally went into the casino right around noon, and the beers were $1, and so I drank as many of them in an 8-hour span as I could."
Yeah, that was pretty much that was the order of the day. And that was good times.
And that was the day, you know, and you joined me, and that was the day that I think really just solidified the deal. So guys, if it's ever really hot, go to your local bar and you'll just be surprised who the hell you're going to meet.
What's that?
So yeah, what kind of wine you got? Are you a big wine person?
I am now. I'm in sort of like a solid relationship, and I think that's like a good sign that when you're into wine, isn't it? When you start growing up, like I said, I've done a lot of growing up in the last 5 years, and one of them is finding wine. But I sometimes overindulge in it, though. You know,
right?
I don't think wine's supposed to be drunk like. I don't think you're supposed to drink like two bottles a night. But there's been times And then I think it's supposed to be like what you have with steak, isn't it, or something like that.
Or a nice dinner of some sort. Like, oh, I have the Chilean sea bass and, you know, a nice wine that pairs with that. Not for me. I drink some. I go across the street here to Walgreens, which is a pharmacy slash drugstore slash whatever.
Yep.
As you know, as our listeners know, I walk to Walgreens. I get the, if I do get wine, which is hardly ever, maybe once a year, it's usually some sort of Moscato or something that tastes more sugary than it should. And then I just drink that. And then I wake up with the worst headache ever on the next day. But it's typically,
never been bad.
Really?
Never been bad on wine. Yeah, I'm usually pretty good. If I mix it, I remember once it was when my girlfriend came to visit me when I was still in England. It's only a few months ago now. But yeah, when I sort of, and obviously my missus was out. My missus was out, so all my friends want to meet her and everything. So we go out to the pub at the end of the road. I've already drank a bottle of wine. And we got to the pub and I was like, oh, Guinness would be a good idea. So like, okay, Guinness. And then it's just, yeah, it just goes downhill from there.
I have a
wedding. That wasn't good. That was, wasn't my finest hour. Then I had to go to like a wedding the next day. And it was like, oh, Jesus. But
I actually had a similar story. Well, somewhat similar, but a bad experience with wine and, mixing some alcohol. So, some years ago, John Braboy, our guitarist, he used to throw some pretty fantastic house parties. And it would be one of those things like every weekend you would go on a Friday and you and your friends would hang out all night into the wee hours of Saturday. And then many times you would just wake up and you'd wake up, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which basically meant you're only a few hours away from optimal party time on Saturday. So you just stayed there and you partied on Saturday. And then on Sunday, you peeled yourself off the floor and you went home. So one of these evenings, a friend of mine said, you know what? I got to change this up. I would like a nice bottle of red wine. And of course, we don't know much about red wine or white wine or any wine for that matter. But he was like, you know, I want a nice, delicious bottle of red wine. So he gets red wine. And back in those days, we would just drink a lot of liquor. We weren't a lot of, when we started out, it was like liquor. We were not really keen on beer too much at that time. So I remember it being, I don't know, one of these things where it's like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. The sun had came up and I was like the last one awake, and on the table was just like a little bit of early times whiskey, and a little bit like a large drink. So maybe like 2 shots or more left, but you know, it's just at the bottom of the bottle. So you're like, oh, I can kill all this and then go to bed. So, we would drink whiskey and we would always have like Coca-Cola to chase it with.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of little glasses of Coca-Cola on this table. And so I drink it, the whiskey down. I was like, oh, man, like a little bit more than I thought there was there. But just drink it and then chase it with your Coke real quick. So I did it, grabbed the glass that's, I think, filled with Coca-Cola, chugged it as fast as I could. It was the red wine. And then
that's horrible.
Immediately it was like one of those things where something in my head clicked. And I just walked straight out the back door, opened the screen door.
Just exorcist, like.
Right, exactly. And just
straight out,
projectile vomited everywhere.
Ugh.
So that's about the best experience I've had with wine. No, I take that back. We actually got an aerator a couple years ago. I don't know if you know what that is, but guys, pro tip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you don't want to have the headache and you don't have the time to just let wine sit out in some sort of chilled bucket with ice in it, just throw it through an aerator, you'll be fine. No headache the next day.
Yeah. I've been pretty good with the headaches. I mean, the beer nowadays gets me the headaches. I drink too much.
That's how you know we're getting old, man.
I'm just mixing drinks like ridiculous amounts. It's just every now and then. Like, I try to mix my drinks, but when I do, it's generally a disaster.
Well,
I'll say that.
Right. Well, it sounds to me like maybe now that you can drive and you're going on tour, you should plan a little Louisville, Kentucky date. We'll, you know, make a weekend out of it. And
that is in the works. That's in the plan. We're trying to figure it out now. But, it's luckily, you know, especially being out here, I've met more of a community of, especially like acoustic artists, and not even just a community, but like guys that I've known for a long time that like were in punk bands or whatever, and then now doing like acoustic stuff. And, you know, so I sort of tend to play with sort of like the same people, and it's starting to get like a little crew together, and I think we're going to sort of head back out that way.
Fantastic.
Definitely later in the year. Or even just the sooner the better, really. I mean, I'd just like to get out on the road and catch up with old friends again.
Yeah. Well, if you need help booking that show, your boy's got your back on that. We can get something taken care of. And if you get here, you can easily get to Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Lexington. You got a lot of places you can go once you get here. So
you should dig up the drum kit again, which has come out. Come join us.
All right, guys, you heard it first. I am going on tour officially right now with Sim Williams with the
yes,
drum
you
kit.
Are. Right now. I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, just get in the car, man. In about 30 mm-hmm. hours, I'll see you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I'll just drink a beer an hour until you get here. So in the 30 case will be gone, and then you'll be here. Fantastic.
That's good. Yeah, good shout.
Absolutely. So I want to share another story with you here. Well, actually, let me ask you this before I start sharing fun stories. But so when do you have the, you said you have like some ideas for touring. Do you have any dates or anything coming up here, or are you?
It's got not that far out. I've got a couple of dates in California, LA. I've actually got a good date coming up in Orange County, where I'll be playing with Chuck Reagan again, which is going to be a good one. That'll be at the Slide Bar. That's on the 16th.
The 16th of February?
Yeah, 16th of February.
All right, guys.
So that'll be fun. And the 24th and the 25th, I can't remember where it is now. That's really bad. I need to get my laptop up or something like that.
Don't worry, man. It always happens. I put people on the spot, and they're like, the dates are going to be, we have a lot of dates, you know. And I was always the worst. If I didn't have a tour laminate or something, people are like, where are you playing next? I'm like, I have no idea. So
yeah, that was terrible. I mean, I didn't even know what fucking state I was in most of the time. I was like, where are you? I'm like, I think we're in Portland. They're like, no, you're in Washington. I'm like, same thing. I mean, it's all far away from England, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for all my California listeners out there, make sure on February 16th, you go to Slide Bar and check that out. That's going to be legit. And
it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And you guys at this point, you've heard Sim's amazing voice, and you've heard his brand of punk rock and roll. So make sure you go out there and show your support. And Sim, I'll do you one better. I'll post all the links here to your shows, to your website, all that good sort of thing in the show notes. So that way they don't have, you know, that way it's all there together. The listeners out there, just click the link. And then for you, you don't have to get the laptop out, buddy.
I've already got it out, but it's so slow.
Oh yeah. Gotcha.
I made the mistake. Big worst purchase of the year. I'm not a very technical minded sort of guy. I'm not very good with technology as well. So I thought it'd be a really good idea to buy a MacBook Pro, like the latest one on finance. Which is like, it's just a machine that I'm just not well equipped to deal with. So
it turns out you're not as,
I'm still struggling with a toaster, to be honest.
Right. You're not as professional. You're not the pro.
It's,
you're not pro enough for the MacBook.
I'm just Mac.
Right.
Just Mac and Mac. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm getting there, but expensive now, isn't it? All this technology, these phones and, I sound like I'm like 90 years old, but I'm just.
I've been getting a lot older. I've been complaining about prices. I grew a mustache. I drank wine.
That's something that's just like a British. Maybe it's just a Portsmouth. I don't know. I love a bargain.
Yeah, who doesn't like a bargain? I mean, I'm the same way. I have, I had an awesome laptop that did me well for years, but just like any machine, you know, after a few years, it's done. You know what I'm saying? One day, it just doesn't work like you wanted it to. Yeah. One day something happens. It went up and down the road with me. It took a beating. And then one day it was just like, you have to pull the plug. It's over. So I bought just like a cheap laptop, and I've had it for a year. And to be honest with you, it's been a piece of shit since the moment I bought it.
Yeah. I usually buy cheap laptops. That's why I went for this like sort of expensive one, which I'm glad, so I know it's going to last me, and it's like got this whole like warranty thing on it. I'm usually buying like secondhand like dodgy laptops,
right?
And I'm just like, yeah, get it, and it just like stops working, and breaks, or blows up, or something.
Yeah, I spent a few a few hundred bucks on it, and it's like it's an HP, and it's like one of those things where it's oh, please register, you know, your HP. So I was like, okay, yeah, dude, I'll get everything squared away, I'll set it up, and then when I was done setting it up, it has like this blue screen that says, "You are now set up. Welcome to HP," right? That screen will not go away, and it has been on this laptop for over a year now. So just to speak to the quality of the product, it gets on the internet great. Don't look at Facebook. It's a little too slow for Facebook. So, but you know, if you want to check your email, that'll do it for you.
Nice.
So it is what it is.
Nice.
So yeah. you got your laptop up, brother. Did you get those dates, man? Where's the 24th and 25th?
They say where they are. Right, we're loaded up now.
Oh yes, nice.
Right, what have we got? We have on the 24th. Is it 24th? Can't even read a poster. Right, yeah, we've got January 24th, where I'll be playing at the Scotland Yard.
Gotcha.
In Canoga Park, California. I'll be playing with, I've got a couple of friends on that one, actually. I've got Derek Envy, who's in True Rivals, which is actually the band that you can also hear on that, on the song, and on the whole record, actually. They were like the backing band for the whole record. So Derek, who played bass, he's playing. Bradley Palmer, I can't pronounce his name, but Palermo. Bradley Palermo, that's the one. Ike Fonseca and Bradley Wright. We're all playing an acoustic show. Yeah, at the Scotland Yard on the 24th. And then I'm playing again with Bradley Wright and Derek Envy and Ike Fonseca on the January 25th.
Nice.
Universal Bar and Grill in North Hollywood.
Ah, the
Hollywood's generally quite cool.
We're playing Universal Studios, man.
Playing Universal Studios, a little place, I forgot.
a little place, and you're going to love it. Know.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have me somehow.
How many celebrities have you seen since you moved there? I always am I'm such a
quite
fucking...
Quite a few. Say that. I've got a couple of interesting stories, actually, because I work with my girlfriend, who will be my wife fairly soon.
Congratulations.
That's a whole different story. But I haven't proposed yet, but I'm getting on that. But we actually work with her and doing dog training. She's got her own company called Prestigious Pooch. And we've actually got a few clients that, like, celebrity clients, as it were, being in LA and all. So I actually see I see a couple on a daily basis. But a funny story the other day. Because one of our clients is Megan Trainor.
Right.
You know, and we also know her manager as well. So we're training his dog at the moment, and we've just taken him for a board and train at the house, and then we've taken the dog back, and, you know, he's a cool guy, he's about my age. And so my missus is like, yeah, there's this British guy that keeps hanging around the house. He keeps coming out, and I guess he's like this guy's friend, who's just like, dossing around the house like a lazy housemate, like pretty much what a lot of people in LA have.
Right.
And so I go around there, and it's like fucking Harry Styles walks out from he's like, "Hi, I'm Harry." I'm like, "Oh, you're right, mate." It's like, yeah. So that guy's not like a fucking dosser, he's like one of the biggest pop stars at the moment.
Right.
That's
quite
funny.
I'll have you know that he's just not some guy that lives on some couch somewhere. This is quite possibly, the biggest pop star the UK and anywhere else. So he's like the new Bieber, man.
Yeah.
He's in Dunkirk, dude. He was in a Christopher Nolan film, so you know he's got some cred.
I haven't seen him. He's loved teenage girls and older women, apparently.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, no, it seemed all right. It's nice enough. So yeah, I see quite a few. Who else did I see? I forget names. I'm terrible because I'm not a massive movie buff or anything like that.
Sure. I always like to ask that question because it just shows how much of like a dork that I am, because I'm so like not from Los Angeles. I'm from, you know, Indiana, Kentucky, that area. So I'm like, dude, you see any movie stars when you're out there in Los Angeles? You know?
Yeah, I get the same thing when I go back home. But it's I'm pretty sure I saw Robert Downey Jr. the other day, but I'm not sure. It might have been him.
It could have been Tony Stark, you know. It could have been who knows.
Could be anyone.
I didn't see him in an iron suit, so anything's possible.
Nah, it doesn't matter, does it?
Could have been, yeah, could have been anybody. But yeah, dude, that's awesome. I was going to say a great story. So the other, you know, you're asking me on our little break, you're like, you know, do you still hang out with some of the guys in the band? And so on Saturday, Kevin and myself and some great friends of mine, who we'll just, you know, they'll be nameless here to protect the guilty and the innocent. But, you know, some good friends of mine, we decided to have like a guys' night. So, you know, all the wives and girlfriends and stuff, they had a girls' night. We had a guys' night. And we ended up going to, like, we're like, yeah, we'll go to, like, a gentleman's establishment. We'll go to this gentleman's club.
Why not?
And, you know, we brought, like, $100. So it's like, you know, you pay for the overpriced drinks. You know, you tip a little bit. You know, sit around and, you know, enjoy the atmosphere, and then we're just going to leave, and it's not really a big deal. Though a friend of mine decided, nay, it's not just going to be one of those nights where, you know, you just sit there with like a few dollars and then we leave. He literally got $1,000 in ones, and he had a gun that shot $1 bills. And,
wow.
And needless to say, he was the absolute belle of the ball at the strip club. And so, yeah, but that was my Saturday night. And it was one of those times where I just had a beer like every 20 minutes. It was basically like my Vegas. The only difference is, you know, I went to bed about 6:30 in the morning. And the secret, guys, if you ever want to skirt a hangover, go to bed about 6:30 in the morning, wake up at 10:30 in the morning. Your body doesn't have time to get hungover. You've rested a little bit. Now you're back up for your second wind. You don't get a hangover for the rest of the day, man. Just maybe take a couple aspirin and a few Gatorades. You'll be fine.
Nice. Good plan.
So I've had an A-plus weekend, man. Not only did I have a lot of adventure, I also didn't have a hangover the entire time.
Sounds good.
You know what I'm saying? That's what life's all about, brother. You know what I'm talking about. You've grown up. You know what it's all about now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, as we're winding down here, man, where can people find you online, and where can people find the music?
Well, it's on all the traditional music buying things, iTunes, Amazon. You go on Spotify. What else as well? Like, you can go on Big Cartel if you want to buy a CD. People buy CDs. You can still go in like a merch store, which is bigcartel.simwilliams.com. Or simwilliams.bigcartel.com, one of those two, you'll find it. And yeah, it's all up there. I want to get vinyl printed next. That'd be good. So there is going to be vinyl available, I'm hoping, next month.
Fantastic. But
being a solo artist, it means that you have to sort of, it's an independent solo artist, generally means you have to pay for everything yourself. So it all adds up, you know. But it's going to be out there. And Facebook as well, we'll keep up to date. So. Sim Williams Facebook, Sim Williams Official. Oh no, Sim Williams. Yeah, Sim Williams Official. I should know all this. I'm terrible.
You really are the MacBook Pro laptop here.
Yeah, got this new laptop. Doesn't sort out my memory, does it?
That's okay. Don't worry. But I'll put all the links in there for you. So
yeah.
So guys,
just type Sim Williams on Facebook and it'll come up. People know what to do. People aren't that stupid. I'm the stupid one, like everyone else.
Just look for a ruggedly handsome British man that goes by the name of Sim Williams, and that'll be the guy. you've come to the right place. So
it's too nice.
You're too nice, buddy. But yeah, so Sim, it was great catching up with you here, and I'm glad that we chatted. Let's chat again. Let's not wait 5 more years to do this.
Let's not do that, Mike. Well, we've got a tour to do.
Yeah, we've got a tour
to already established this.
To book right now. So I got to start practicing, and then
yeah, you're good.
I'll just buy the vinyl next month. I'll buy the album, and
You won't buy it. I'll send it to you.
I'll buy it and then have it shipped over to the house, learn all the songs, and then we'll hit the road and we'll just make a few million bucks, dude. And then we'll go hang out with Harry Styles and Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. Easy as that.
That's the American dream, buddy. This is why you moved here. You know what I'm saying? To live the American dream.
I've just got to go and get a bald eagle tattooed on my back. So that's right. The next bald eagle carrying the Fifth Amendment or whatever.
Exactly. And that's how you know. That's basically, I think, a requirement for the full citizenship.
Yeah. That's it. I'll just walk into that office and just take my shirt off and go, look.
Exactly.
And say, you're in.
They'll say, you know what? I've seen enough. You're in.
Sir. Yeah.
But yeah. Absolutely. Well, Sim.
Life that easy.
Until we, until we take over the world here at the end of the year on tour, it was a pleasure speaking with you here. Keep in touch. And guys, yeah, if you like what you hear, definitely support Sim. And he's out there making moves, you know, making things happen. So buy the album, buy it on vinyl, buy it on CD, buy it digital, buy it however you like to buy it, or in many ways. And Sim would definitely appreciate that. And if you like the podcast, and as I always say every week, of course you like the podcast because you've made it over an hour into it. So if you do like it and you haven't yet, please share it. Please subscribe on iTunes and please tell your friends about it. It's on iTunes, like I said. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter, wherever you get your stuff. And it's on Spotify. So there you go. You can listen to Sim's album on Spotify. You can listen to Sim's podcast on Spotify. We're living in the digital age, brother. So,
well,
absolutely
beautiful.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Sim, anything you want to tell all the listeners out there before we head off into the great beyond or the sunset, whatever?
Thanks for listening to my first podcast. I suppose my first one. Never done one.
Well, there you go.
For making it for if you make it this far for an hour of awkwardness, British awkwardness from me. Yeah. Thank you as well for having me.
Hey, no problem, brother. I got to support. And guys, so thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast.